Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to Science Faction, the only show where a scientist, a comedian, and a comedian scientist come together to discuss science comedically.
Hello, and welcome to Science Faction 539. Science Faction, your not-so-weekly corona update. By the way, stay tuned to the end of this episode to hear a quick announcement about this week's other episodes. But for now, let's look at the numbers for today, January 24th, 2021. Worldwide infected, 99.5 million. U.S. infected, 25.6 million. Worldwide dead, 2.1 million. U.S. dead, 428,000. Pretty crazy number considering we just about a week ago celebrated the U.S. going over 400,000. We also currently have 9.8 million active infections, which is blowing out of the water the next highest country, which is like less than 2 million. So active infections, the U.S. is really leading right there, as it is in serious infections with 27,000. The good news is that our rates seem to actually be going down significantly for the first time in a very long time. This is fantastic news. We're seeing an average daily death rate decline, and that is fantastic. It looks like it might be heading from its high of well over 4,000 down, which is exactly what we need. It might be because people are social distancing better. It might be because the vaccines are now out and they've been out long enough to start having an effect on that kind of thing. Whatever it is, very good news. I hope that continues. Everybody, please don't get COVID fatigue. Keep up as much as you can. Masks, everything, as we talked about last week. Keep wearing masks even if you've already gotten the shot. Keep doing your social distancing. We are light at the end of the tunnel. We are coming towards that light, baby. So just keep it going if you can. Don't lose in the last 10 yards. Don't lose the race. Don't be that guy who's celebrating that he won the track meet as he has his hands in the air and somebody else gets in front of him and hits the finish line. Just keep it going. We're almost there. All right, just a few interesting articles for this week. The first one, which I thought was really interesting, is a Scientific American article that looks at a possible route of minimizing infections during the winter that I hadn't even thought of before. Obviously, we've talked about masks. We've talked about other PPE, face shields, et cetera, et cetera. We've talked about social distancing. We've talked about not being indoors with people, all of that kind of stuff. But a really interesting article came up that suggested we should be regulating humidity. I mean, this is one of the problems with respiratory infections. This is one of the reasons they spread so much in the winter. As the temperature goes down, the humidity goes down, and viral particles can be transmitted much better. Sometimes that seems kind of counterintuitive. A lot of people would think the wetter environment is better, but it's because we have this innate thing of what germs are, and you're thinking of, you know, bacterial or fungal infections, which are true. We usually get around a little bit better in wetter environments. But for viral infections, they want it dry. Remember, the entire way they can infect you is to be very, very small particles that get breathed out and pushed around. Well, the denser the air, the harder that is. And if you want to think of a way to think about this, imagine trying to breathe through water in a pool. Your breath isn't going to go very far. It's going to go into a bubble and then go up to the top, right? And now imagine it's very, very light air, like you're up at the top of a mountain. Your breath can go much further because there's less stuff in the way. Water is basically a thing in the way that prevents transmission. It makes the air more dense and harder for you to breathe through. Your puff of air goes out less far, the more humid it is, et cetera, et cetera. So decreased humidity really enhance the ability to catch infections, which is one of the reasons, along with people being indoors and recirculated air and stuff, that respiratory infections tend to peak in the winter. So the idea is, you know, we have this cold air, and on top of that, heating elements like heaters and stuff, they tend to actually make the air even less humid, the heating process does, so that the indoor air after being heated is even less humid than already dry air. And because of that, we make a better situation for these viruses to spread. And maybe one of the things we should think about, in addition to having masks and face shields and social distancing and everything, is to think about humidifiers. Put a bunch of humidifiers in these areas, especially places like hospitals and stuff where we're really concerned about that transmission. Maybe if we could keep a high enough moisture level in the air, we could prevent a lot of these infections that are otherwise going on. Very interesting article. Again, I recommend that you actually check out the original article in Scientific American, because it's again, I've been somebody who's been covering this very intensely for the past year, and I knew the humidity thing, but I hadn't even thought of that. Yeah, we should have humidifiers in every ICU right now. All right, article number two. Some of the new variants we've been talking about might be able to reinfect people who've already been infected or vaccinated. Not great news, guys. We've talked about B117, the Kent one. There's also 501YV2. That's the South African variant we've talked about before. It looks like that South African variant, at least in lab tests, in vitro lab tests, seems to show that some people who have been previously infected, their antibodies are not recognizing this. Some are, it's not universal, but some are not, and we're not sure what that difference is yet. That might mean that people who have some immunity now, either from having been infected before or from having gotten the vaccine, just don't have that immunity to these strains. Some. That's scary. It doesn't mean the vaccines are useless. It doesn't mean you should throw your hands up and say, well, then this is never going to be over, because again, if we can winnow down that percentage of people who are possibly able to be infected, eventually you get to herd immunity in some way or another. So the vaccine still helps, even if it wouldn't 100% guarantee your safety against this, it still helps. We're also seeing this in Brazil, where we've seen cities basically ravaged. We talked about some of this earlier in the summer. Places that got like 70% of the people there got infected. Well, some of those places are now having a secondary reinfection, where these people who were already infected last year are getting reinfected. That's scary. Some things to consider, though, is those people were all got their immunity through, you know, being infected and then getting better. That tends to not last as long as a vaccine, especially a two-part vaccine. So, you know, getting a vaccine will probably give you more protection than that. And also there are underlying health issues. You know, it's in the middle of the Amazon. There's problems with recurrent other infections and et cetera, et cetera. But this should wake us up. Things like what's going on in South Africa, things like what's going on in Brazil, to a lesser extent what's going on in England and the possibilities of reinfection, that should keep us aware, because the whole reason these are possible is because we've allowed this infection to spread. You know, if we would have done a better job at social distancing, a better job of stopping it so it didn't affect 100 million people, then we wouldn't be in a situation where it had the ability to mutate this way. So this is one of the consequences of not getting vaccines out fast enough, not doing a good enough job of social distancing. And the next round of vaccines will be quicker. They will be easier to approve. They're minor changes. So even if you are somebody who isn't necessarily immune because of your previous infection or vaccination, you'll have more immunity, more inherited immunity than you otherwise would have. And chances are we'll be able to make a vaccine patch for this, so to speak, rather quickly. But it is a good lesson that there are consequences to allowing this to go for long enough, which is these mutations. And it's things that we should think about when we are considering how we are treating these infections, is that they don't just end the second you get a vaccine if you let them go long enough. But those vaccines are still really important. Still advise you to get one. Which brings me to one of my points for this week, which is that I was lucky enough to be able to get a shot myself. My wife does a lot of work in old folks' homes, and it is so detrimental if one of those people gets sick that even though she's already had her shot, remember, 95% effectiveness, that means 1 in 5 chance that that person, even after getting the shot, can still get the disease. And we don't know out of the 95% who can't get the disease whether or not they can still catch it and transmit it to somebody. We just know they don't get sick. So in order to make sure that she doesn't inadvertently kill people, that for people in her position who are, it would just be devastating if they got it. Literally hundreds of old people can die. They actually are vaccinating their families as well. So I was able to get in on that. I happily got my shot yesterday. I'm very excited about that. We were able to get my parents, who are both almost 80, their shots this week, which is fantastic. Again, we still have a ways to go before we get our second shot and then the immunity that comes after that. And even after that, my family will be still wearing masks and practicing some level of distancing to make sure that we don't become vectors in the disease. Because again, all it guarantees is that you are not going to die. It doesn't mean that you can't still get sick and infect other people. Might mean that, but we don't know it yet. So that's all fantastic news. I was elated with that. And unfortunately, I also got some bad news, which is that my grandmother, who is 96, has tested positive for COVID. So I'm expecting that she will have some pretty severe symptoms coming up pretty soon. And I am going to take what is our normal recording time, Monday night, that Damien and I get together to record, is actually the first time I will be able to FaceTime or conference call with my grandmother to speak with her. And frankly, it may end up being the last. So I'm going to be doing that, and hopefully we'll be able to record the main episode and I Call BS shortly thereafter, but it will be late regardless. I just wanted to let you guys know as you don't see the main episode come on the feed why that is. And we won't do a Thursday episode because, again, there's just so much time constraint here. So, you know, the episode might not come out till very late this week. So I just want to let you guys know as a heads up what's going on and why. But regardless, thank you so much for listening. I can't wait for this whole thing to be over. And it seems like, at least for some of us, it will slowly but surely be getting towards that position soon enough. I hope you learned a lot from this episode regarding the ability to decrease possible transmission using humidifiers and the somewhat concerning but not totally apocalyptic news that some of the variants might be less susceptible to inherited immunity from either previous infection or the vaccine itself. Thank you so much for joining me, and come on back later this week for Science Faction 540.
You've been listening to Science Faction. Wait, that's not right.